Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out, Jeff, at beekeepingfornewbies.com. That's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. There's two E's in there. In case you were wondering, it's not you, it's me on this one. Anyway, episode 59, part two of our interview with Charlotte Wiggins. Got a couple of notes for you, and then we're gonna jump right in. So I had a little bit of an audio issue. It's 100% my fault. I've been really tweaking and tuning a lot of the audio settings and things on the mixer I use, and it is incredibly robust, and I'm a very simple person, right? I need like the three buttons that you hit where it's like one, two, three, and you're done. This kind of has that. You can just kind of go generic and it'll take care of everything in the back end, magic and everything. But I decided to tinker with it and was messing around, kind of screwed something up, and it really messed up the audio, and it's my fault, so it sucks. So we probably lost about 10 minutes of our interview with Charlotte. The good news is we have all of the audio from Charlotte. It was just like me where I would say, oh, wow, that's interesting, and then I would tell some off-the-wall story that had nothing to do with what she was talking about. So you didn't miss any good content from Charlotte. It was just me running my mouth. Now, like I mentioned before, grab a notepad, get ready to make some notes because she's got tons of tips and tricks, and they're so good. You'll want to write them down and, or make a note of them somehow. And before we get into this second half, I want you to pay particular attention to what she says about taking your time on your inspections and not rushing. This is really important. I don't want to steal her thunder on that one, but I think that she explains this in a way that really, really makes a lot of sense. So please listen to what she says around that. So without further ado, part two of our interview with Charlotte Wiggins.
I had to tell you this. So the other day I was checking one of my colonies, and very, very gentle colony. And I didn't realize this. We sometimes have these immediate storms that come in, flash storms, I call them. And I was dawdling. I was enjoying watching the bees and checking the frames. And all of a sudden, they were getting disturbed. They were not happy with me being in the colony. So I just very, very quickly closed things up, thinking, what happened? I turned around and this very dark cloud had just kind of moved over the house. I went, ooh, okay. And closed things back up and was walking back to the garage, and all of a sudden, there were several bees in the garage with me. And I looked around and I thought, well, now, what happened? Did I bring some honey in? And looked back outside and it was gone. The cloud was gone. So I went back to the colony, you know, and took the lid back, made sure the lid was back on. The bees went kind of followed me back over there. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm welcome back. I didn't open back up, but it was very interesting to have that interaction with the bees. They were comfortable with, you know, that I was okay, you know, it's like nothing personal. We just didn't want you in the hive when it was raining kind of thing.
Oh, that's so great.
It was just interesting experience. I've not had that experience with bees in a while. So,
no, that's really neat. I was, I was sitting down in the house the other day. I was talking to Phoebe, my youngest, and we affectionately refer to her as the Phoebe keeper. And she, yeah, so now she's 18 now and going off to college in a couple of months. And that's a whole other thing. But, yeah. But we're hanging out just chit chatting. And she goes, I want to pet a bee. And I said, right now?
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, I just feel like I want to pet a bee right now. I'm like, well, let's go. So we ran outside.
Good for her.
Yeah, she sticks her finger right up by the entrance. Little bee comes out. And then I'm joking around. I'm talking for the bees. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? Get away, you know. And then a couple other ones come out. And then one of them walks up on her finger and hangs out with her for a second. And then I said, okay, you good? And she's like, yeah, I'm good. So, yeah, it was cute.
I have to tell you this. Every once in a while, I'll take somebody to our teaching apiary. And I mean, they're dressed up like an EPA, you know, inspector in a full suit. And I may have a veil. I always wear a veil. And because we're going to our teaching apiary, I'll put a jacket on, but I don't wear a gloves. And because the bees know me there, but they'll put, we'll put gloves on. Because they're borrowing gloves, they don't always fit their hands. And they'll put their fingers out, and a bee will land on their finger, and you can just tell that it's a magical moment for them, because all of a sudden they're holding a bee. And that to me is really important when people get to do that, because all of a sudden they're making a connection,
yes,
with that little insect. And I encourage people to do that, because I do think that makes a difference for them. They've never done that before. And they get to see this little magical creature. And that's what I tell them. I say, you know, this is a creature that's 1/60th your size. And I say, they need 11 of the 33 amino acids that you and I need to be healthy. Now, think about that. You know, they are as, you know, a third as complicated as we are. Just think what that means. And people start running the numbers through their head, you know, and I think they start appreciating that this little insect is responsible a third of our healthy food that we eat. You know, 80% of all of our food is pollinated by honeybees. There are other pollinators too, but the bees are the primary pollinators. And when you start throwing these numbers at them while they're holding the bee, it makes a difference. It's one thing, it's just numbers when you're just throwing them at them, and when they're holding the bee, I think it makes a difference.
I just have this thing in my mind, and I can see this, you know, where you have the recognition, the appreciation, the respect that comes with the strength of the colony. And
yeah,
when you think of, you know, if I go in here and I just cause a ruckus and just get a little wild with them, they can take me down. They can take me out of everything. And yet how just amazingly gentle that they can be when you're gentle with them. And like you said, you're holding that power of them in your hand. And yet they're just the sweetest little things. I mean, like I said, some of them get a little ornery sometimes. I'm not going to make it to, you know, all rainbows and unicorns, but yeah, it is something magical when especially when newer beekeepers, and I love it when you have the younger folks. Like I remember when my girls were little and they first started getting into it.
Well, you know, when you spend time with your bees, I walk through my apiary most days, and I stand in front of, to the side of my hives, and just watch for a few minutes to see, is there some activity? Make sure the bees are flying in and out. You know, sometimes I've got inner covers that have screen on them, so I can take the cover off and kind of peek in. I don't have to be suited up, just to make sure that everything's okay. Sometimes I can do that and know that they need space. But so the bees are used to me popping in and out. And it's not, so I don't think, them being used to being looked at and having somebody around them on a daily basis, I think makes a difference versus somebody who never goes and checks their bees. And so that familiarity between the beekeeper and the bees is a good thing. And I've been with people who don't do that. And so they maybe go out and see their bees 2 or 3 times a year, and then they wonder why the bees are obnoxious. You know, and that's the other thing I tell people. If your bees, when you go out to inspect them, are aggressive, there's something wrong. You know, in general, if everything's okay within the hive, there, unless you're doing it when it's the weather conditions are bad, you should not have a bad experience checking your bees. So they're either they're queenless, chances are they're out of room. If they're ticked off, they're out of room, or there's something in there. A mouse may have moved in, and if the mouse has moved in, there's something, you know, there's something not quite right in the colony. And because people tell me, well, I just have to requeen. Well, no, don't jump to that conclusion. There's usually some other reason why they're upset. And there are enough problems with queens these days, and they're expensive to buy. You know, I would check other reasons before you jump to needing to requeen.
As most of you know, I'm a big fan of the outdoors, and most of my time is dedicated to beekeeping and gardening-related discussions. But you probably did not know that one of my responsibilities as a kid was caring for our houseplants. Yes, part of my $5 a week allowance went towards making sure all of the houseplants were healthy and happy. We used to have shamrocks, Christmas cactus, philodendron, and more. Which leads us to today's podcast sponsor, and a special thanks to Palm Street. Palm Street is the best live shopping app for the plant lover community. You can buy and sell rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods. Connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. Shop 24/7 and with live human customer support. What I love most about Palm Street is joining a live stream where sellers walk through all the details and characteristics of the plants they're offering. You can get live answers to your questions and see what questions others have asked as well. It's such a great way to engage for buyers and sellers. And as a special offer, new users will receive $5 app credit, 10% off their first order, and up to $6 off shipping for 3 orders. Palm Street, available on Google Play or the App Store. When I was little, my grandmother had bird feeders and a bird bath in her backyard. Some of my favorite memories growing up were listening to her tell me everything she knew about the feathered friends that visited her yard daily. How amazing would it have been for us to be able to capture images and videos of that experience and to be able to share them with others? Well, if you're ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level, FeatherSnap makes Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeders that blend the best of technology and nature. Get a high-def glimpse of your feathered friends with a top-of-the-line camera so every visitor can be seen with clarity and detail. A unique dual feeder bin helps attract more species, and built-in solar panels keep your camera's battery going strong. FeatherSnap's mobile app creates a truly immersive experience, allowing you to collect and organize your favorite pics and videos and earn badges along the way. Best of all, FeatherSnap offers expert-trained AI identification of more than 275 North American species thanks to their in-house ornithologist. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You know, there was something that you just said that brings up a really good point. You know, you think about people will say that like a dog can sense evil because of the pheromone that a person gives off when they have kind of aggressive intentions. I believe the honeybees are the exact same way. When you're a new beekeeper and you're scared and you're apprehensive, you're almost making things, of course, obviously unintentionally, worse than they would be for a beekeeper who's more experienced, more calm, and more relaxed. And I think this goes back to the reason I tell people stay regular on your schedule, do those inspections as regularly as possible. And the more you do it, the more natural it becomes, the calmer you are, the more relaxed you are, and the better kind of interaction and relationship you'll have with the bees. But would you agree that you think that the bees have that ability to pick up on that pheromone?
Oh, absolutely. They do pick up on your pheromone. They do pick up on your fear. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And that level of comfort that you get by doing that and by being relaxed and by and developing your pace, you know, being slow and being deliberate and And by doing it over and over again, so you do become, you have a rhythm on what you're doing. That's all good. Every time I've gone out with new beekeepers, they do it way too fast because they want to get over with. And I say, no. Pack a picnic basket in your mind. Think about this as being a relaxing thing, not something that you have to rush through. You want to take your time. You want to enjoy it. You want to spend time with your bees. You want them to look forward to seeing you. That's the mindset that you want to have when you go out to spend time with your bees. We're lucky as hobby backyard beekeepers that we can do that.
You know, that's a great point. I think about people that I know and people I've talked to who are in the commercial space. And while they're still passionate about honeybees and they still love the mission and they still love doing what they do to produce as agricultural professionals and as people who provide, you know, honey to consumers and things, sometimes, you know, I hear them, they'll tell me stories like, man, I really do miss the old days of just sitting down with the bees. You know, I'm fostering a colony right now for a neighbor of mine who had a bit of an allergy situation. And I don't have my bees at my house anymore. Years ago, I moved them when I established an apiary down in North Carolina. And I don't have them around the house anymore. And I didn't realize how much I missed that. But now I go out in the morning, I have my coffee with the bees, and it is just so absolutely therapeutic. And I think that sometimes we forget just how great it is to have them there.
Yes. I just recently met a commercial beekeeper. This was one of his several yards, 400 hives back from pollinating the almond fields in California. And I asked him how long he takes with each colony, a minute to sure. inspect each of the colonies. Now, I'm, 20 minutes with each of my colonies because I take my time. Now, that may involve trimming around the hives because sometimes plants grow around the hives. I may change out some frames, but I'm not rushing it. I'm certainly not doing it in a minute. And if the colony gets a little antsy, I may take less than that, but I'm not rushing it. I'm certainly not doing it in less than 10 minutes. And I thought a minute, I could do it. I've done it in very short time when I needed to do it, but you just can't enjoy it in a minute.
Sure. It takes all the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. I could tell that he cares for his girls. You know, he talked about how he wanted to make sure they were healthy and they, you know, he depends on them for his income and his livelihood. And no doubt that he does everything he can to keep them healthy and keep them happy, but just a different relationship.
Sure.
Not saying it's good or bad. It's just a different relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think that different is the right word to describe the relationship. It's neither one's better than the other. They're just different. Well, Charlotte, I know if we get a chance to keep rolling along, this will be a 4-hour episode, and I definitely don't want to take up all your time like that. But as we're winding things down here, do you have any messages, guidance, words of wisdom, anything that you'd like to pass along to everybody before we wrap up for the day, whether it's beekeeping or gardening or whatever you think makes sense?
Well, I want to say on the gardening side, if you're, regardless of where you are on the gardening spectrum, if you haven't gotten a soil test, you need to do that. It's easy to do. You get a quart bag, you go out into your garden area, and you get 6 to 8 scoops of soil from wherever you're planning to garden or whatever garden area you have. You take it down to your local extension office. The last time I had a soil test done, it cost me $15. They will send it off to a lab, and in 2 to 3 weeks, there will be a soil analysis report that will come back. And if you know what you want to plant there, tell them that, and they will tell you what to do to your soil to amend it to be able to grow blueberries or strawberries or whatever you want to grow. If you don't know, that's fine too. They will tell you whether your soil is acidic or alkaline or whatever it is that you have. That will save you a ton of money because then you will know that you can plant what you can plant there. Right plant in the right place. Not all plants will grow in all soils. Just like we were talking earlier about, there are certain things that certain butterflies that will only eat certain plants. Only certain plants will grow in certain soils. So find out what that is, and then you will know how to match up the plant to your soil. In terms of beekeeping, especially if you're starting or thinking about starting, please, please, please take a class. There are a number of excellent classes online. You're mentioning military. There's a great class, Heroes to Hives, which is out of Michigan, Dr. Adam Ingrao. I think that class starts November 1st. There's a window that you can register from November 1st to, I think, February. It's a one-year class. It's online. You have a period of a month to do the class. You take a test, and then he has the next module that opens up. It's a very intense class, but excellent. Do that before you get bees, because it's very important to know some of the biology and the principles of beekeeping. Great Plains Master Beekeeping also has an online class that you can take, modules at your own leisure. That's a free class as well. I think the University of Arkansas has an excellent online class, and there are others that you can get to as well. Take a class, learn the language, understand the biological principles, find a local bee club so that you can go and meet beekeepers in your area. If you can go with a beekeeper, go see bees up close and personal, do that. Understand that you're going to be afraid. That's okay. Get over that, because the bees can sense your pheromone. You want to make sure that you can comfortably work with bees. That may take a little time to do that, but do that before you invest in beekeeping. Jeff will tell you it's an expensive hobby. It's one I would never not pursue, but prepare yourself for success. Don't just jump into it, because it can be overwhelming at first, but I think it's well worth the investment. Just prepare yourself for either gardening or beekeeping. Prepare yourself for success.
You know, that's a great point. I think that would serve as an excellent, you know, framework or model, you know, because the education component is pretty abundant. I mean, there's a lot of options that are out there for learning about beekeeping and resources on YouTube and online and various sources. But if you're going to go through a reputable education and training provider of some sort, that will allow you to build a strong foundation for which to build many years of bee knowledge and experience on. So I think that that's hands down a great way to go. The one last thing I wanted to bring up. So Charlotte, I know that you are a published author. I know you've got at least one book out there. I don't think we even brought it up when we spoke in the past. Certainly have not this time, but can you tell us where people can find some of your published materials?
Sure. So I have a beginning beekeeping book called A Beekeeper's Diary, Self-Guide to Keeping Bees. It's the book I use for my beginning beekeeping classes. It's also the study book for the Great Plains Master Beekeeping Apprentice to Journeyman online test. And it can be found on Amazon. And if you want a autographed copy, you can find it at bluebirdgardens.com, which is my custom gift business. And then I also have Bee Club Basics, How to Start a Bee Club, for those of you who want a bee club because you don't have one and you want something that can support you in your beekeeping adventure. And that's also part of the beekeeping support system that you need. And that's also available on Amazon or through bluebirdgardens.com. And I'm working on my third book, which is going to be Bees Need Flowers, which will be a book on how to plant for pollinators. Hopefully that'll be out this year.
Outstanding. Well, we will look forward to getting, actually, that'll be a good reason for you to come back and talk to us again when that's getting ready to come out.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Well, Charlotte, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us again today. And like I've said in the past, you're always welcome anytime you want to chat and catch up with us if you have something new, exciting, or fun to share. And that being said, you know, please take care of yourself, and we'll look forward to next time.
You too, Jeff. Thanks for inviting me. It was always fun. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Charlotte. All right, everybody. And that concludes our interview with Charlotte. Special thanks again to Charlotte Wiggins for joining us. Charlotte, thank you so much for taking the time. We really, really appreciate it. For the record, Charlotte did not ask me to plug any of her books, anything that she does. She joined us once again out of the kindness of her heart because of her passion for beekeeping and gardening. So I just wanted you all to know that. Now, I do have her book, A Beekeeper's Diary, Self-Guide to Keeping Bees. I'm very impressed with it. Now, I think you guys know me by now, and if I didn't like it, I would probably just get really quiet about it and pretend like I hadn't looked at it yet or something like that. But it is really good. There is a ton of information in the book. It's laid out in a really organized fashion, covers tons of topics. But the one thing that I think is really neat is throughout the book, there are areas for you to make notes. So as an example, if you're reading one section, there's a specific thing that you just learned about. You can run outside, apply that in the yard, in your bee colonies, make notes in that section. And then let's say, for example, it might be an inspection area of the book. You can then go out in the yard and say, oh, wait, I did an inspection and I made a note. You don't have to say, well, where in my notes did I make this note? Or even where in the book did I make the notes? You go right to the inspection section and there's areas for you to make notes. That's just kind of an example. So really good book. I'm going to go through the whole thing in greater detail over the coming weeks, but there is a lot of great information in there. So definitely check that out. It's available on Amazon. If you have trouble tracking it down, let me know. I will throw a link to it in the Discord room as well in case anybody wants to pick it up there. Now, the big bonus I'm sure everybody's excited about is Charlotte has offered up a copy of her book to one lucky listener. So we're going to do a drawing for that in the next couple of days. And I've been trying to figure out the best way to do this. And I think this is the one that's going to make the most sense. Now, some people are really, really active in the Discord room. They're really engaged. They're chatting with everybody. They're sharing information. They're helping each other out. But I don't want people who are a bit more introverted or who are not as outgoing to feel like they're being left out here as well. If you're a listener, you are eligible. What you need to do is if you're in the Discord room, just send me a message and you can do it in an open forum where you can just DM me directly, whatever's better for you. Just send me a message and say, hey, I'd like to be entered for the drawing for the book. That's all you have to do. If you have email and you'd rather just send me an email, you don't want anything to do with the Discord room, totally fine. However you want to get it to me and let me know, just find a way to let me know, hey, I'm interested in being in the drawing. 1 week after this episode airs, I'm going to take all of the people. I'm going to run a little Python script that I wrote a long time ago. I'll run the Python script against the list of people. It will assign a random number to those people, and then I will run a random number generator based on however many people have entered. Whatever random number is chosen, you're going to be the winner, and we will get that shipped out to you as quickly as possible. So that's all I got for you today, folks. There is a whole lot of stuff coming up, but you know, like I said, I've reserved the bee buzzes for me rambling and all the chitter chatter and all that kind of stuff. So there's a bee buzz coming out pretty soon. That one will have a lot more information for you. But thank you so much to everybody for all your support, for listening, for being a part of our community. And that's all I've got for today. Take care, stay out of trouble. And hey, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.